pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. Science careers were cut short, and the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in Central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We've got a lot to talk about. Some great finishes again last night in boys district basketball. Also, girls state tournament gets underway tomorrow. And on the show today, we are going to preview that with Ron Powell, the beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star, who follows the ladies' sports, does the rankings, prep editor for Lincoln Journal Star. He'll join us in the second half for second segment of the show today, I believe. Up first, we're going to talk to Rick Cremosta from Minden. The Whippets are headed to state. Also, we're going to talk to Andy Gerlich of Sutton, and we might even jam a few more people into today's program. A lot of good stuff going on. Hastings men were a winner last night, but so much, just so much going on in the world of sports.
Well, Doug, there really is. You know, we're here on Wednesday, and we still have not gotten to last weekend's article about Sarah Pavin, which has wrote a strange, sad side of the sports world of something that you would think would be very, very happy, a lot of great memories. Perhaps not that way.
Lincoln Journal Star, go to their website, journalstar.com, archive it. It was this weekend, so Saturday or Sunday. It was on both days.
It was on Saturday in the newspaper.
And it was written by a college student for the college paper, I believe a senior college player, talked to her dad, talked to Coach Cook. Never really got a comment from Pavin, though, in the story. So you have to take that. But it is the above-the-fold sports story on Saturday. Very strange. But if you read it, if it's all true, you can start to see why this team didn't go very far in the postseason this year.
Yeah, you really could see some different personalities clashing and maybe not maybe didn't bode well. Some jealousies, I think, of
weird jealousies.
Weird jealousies.
And again, the one thing, being a journalist broadcaster, and I'm sure that the young lady who wrote the article,
Caitlin Kirkhove is her name, did a very nice job, I thought.
And obviously, though, still collegiate, still learning a little bit, but not a whole lot of, you know, got some comments, but maybe you don't really know the whole story. This could have been a two-page story. This could have been a Sports Illustrated type of huge story. I mean, it could have taken more than the length that they published here in the paper.
Yeah, basically below the picture, and this is kind of a synopsis of it. It says Sarah Pavin, a four-time All-American and College Player of the Year, says she often felt alone, especially feeling isolated from teammates, as she said, resented her individual accolades.
Very strange, because if you grow up in Canada, you are isolated and alone.
Very, very true.
Well, they're not alone this year, and we'll take your comments. Check that out if you're a big Nebraska volleyball fan and haven't got a chance to see that. Saturday's Journal Star, or you can go online, journalstarsports.com. Not isolated of the teams that are going to the state basketball tournament, and the Minden Whippets are one of those teams that is proud to join the fray this year, and we are pleased to be joined on the Doug and Daddy Show by the head Whippet himself. That's right, Rick Cremosta joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, glad to be with you guys.
Well, congratulations on the state berth. You come through a very tough district, especially a very tough sub-district, and it had its moments, I know, but let's talk about what you thought this team of yours did here in the postseason.
Well, we knew going into the subs that, you know, there's probably three teams in that sub-district that were plenty good to win that, so we knew we'd have to play pretty well, and we were fortunate to just kind of keep plugging away and pick up some wins along the way there and get to Lincoln, I guess.
Well, Rick, you get to Lincoln with a 20-2 record. You face the Hershey Panthers. What do you see when you see film of them?
They've got some great athletes. Probably have about four kids that can really shoot it well from the outside. They play pressure defense. They run up and down the court. and really get after you on the defensive end with great quickness. So it'll be a tough matchup, and we'll have to be at our best.
Coach Rick Cremosa joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Minden plays Hershey. You'll be able to hear it on Power 99 FM tomorrow afternoon at 3:45. Coach, obviously now this will help wipe away some of the postseason pain from last year. Tell me the biggest difference between this group with a lot more experience, I guess, will be one thing, and the group that you had last year, which was virtually the same kids.
Yeah, I don't really know, Doug. I don't know. Maybe we've been through the wars a few more times, and maybe that helped a little bit. But I don't know. You know, last year's group, I thought going into sub-district play and stuff last year that, you know, we were in pretty good shape. But we picked a poor time to play a poor game and kind of played a hot Adams Central team at the time. And they just knocked us off. That's all that happened. And, you know, that's part of athletics and sports. That stuff happens. But this team's fine. Found a little bit, maybe a little more gritty, and I think that comes from experience without a question.
Rick, it's nice to have three girls that average in double figures. They want to slow one down, that's fine. The other two pick up the slack, and it's kind of been that way for you guys all year.
Yeah, that's kind of been our trademark, is we've had good balance. And it, you know, we haven't, to be honest with you, we really haven't had all three of those kids, Lindsay and Leanne and Ann. I don't think we've had a game where they've all shot it really well, so we're kind of hoping maybe that will happen over the weekend here. But usually we have two of the three, you know, hitting for us a little bit, and then we've got some other kids that can get some scoring done for us also.
Rick Cremosa is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. This team made it to the state volleyball final. How much does that help as you head in, even though this is the first trip to state for the basketball team since 1990? How does that help to have that kind of experience and success?
Well, I'm sure that, you know, they've been there, they've got the experience down there, and I hope that will pay off a little bit. You know, it seems like a long time ago that the kids were playing volleyball down there. So it's an entirely different season, and we have different players, but some of them, of course, three or four of them were major parts of that volleyball squad. So there's no question it's not going to hurt the kids. I think it will greatly help us down there just with the experience and understanding the atmosphere and what it takes to get some wins down there.
Rick Cremosa, Men and Whippets, Lady Whippets coach, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Rick, is there one key to this game as you see it heading in tomorrow?
I think if I had to pick one key, and there's probably more than one key, but the biggest key I think is we definitely have to value the basketball and take care of the ball. They get a lot of their stuff off of really transition and forcing turnovers. So we are going to need to take care of the ball, and if we can do that, I think we can get some good shots. Defensively, for us on the defensive end, you know, that's kind of been a little bit of our stale. That's kind of what we've done well all year, and that is play pretty good defense. So we need to continue to do that.
Hey, Rick, before we let you get out of here, you know, we were ordering some hair care products over here from Marachik and Sartorius Incorporated, and, you know, those things aren't working out so well.
No. No, I tell you what, you guys are, I tell you what, I don't know what to say about that. You guys are ruthless over there. There's no question about it. But you guys do a great job. I enjoy listening to you guys, and what you do for high school sports is second to none. So always glad to see you guys at our games, and we have a great time together.
Well, Coach, hopefully things will go well here for teams from the area, and the Whippets will move on and play at least three games down there, because if you get past that first day, we guarantee you three. So we look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Thanks for giving us some time, and good luck with the gals.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Take care. Rick Cremosa, head girls basketball coach of the Minden Whippets. Hershey, there's not a real easy draw here because, let's face it, if you're not in the top four, then you're not looking for the easy draw. The 4-5, Minden and Hershey. Hershey, four losses. They lost to Holdridge. One of the two losses for Minden to Holdridge. They were number one at the time in Class B. Two of the losses to Perkins County, who was number one in C2, unbeaten. Was unbeaten last year until the overtime loss to Kearney Catholic. And then the other loss is to Chase County, which is a class ball club. And they beat them once earlier in the season in triple overtime. So No slashes there. Of course, Minden's two losses came to St. Paul and Holdridge. They avenged that loss to St. Paul in the sub-districts.
But, Doug, if you go back and you want to compare some scores, they lost to Holdridge by 14. Hershey lost to them by 26, so they should win by 12 points.
Really?
I mean,
how does your math work?
Well,
any idea what you're talking about?
I believe we
coincidentally, last night, the Kearney High Bearcats defeat Grand Island 60-57, and it must be something, Daddy, about these Wednesday shows, because it was a week ago where I made the flat prediction that Nebraska would beat Kansas State, cover, and flat out win the ball game, which they did. Yesterday, we had Kearney boys coach Scott Steinbrook on the program.
Well, Scott, I look at this game tonight. As you beat them by 13, they beat you by 10. You should win this easily by 3.
If it were only that easy. I love your logic, and hopefully that holds true.
So Bertrand math comes through, 60-57.
God bless you. God bless you, Jeff Sharp, teaching me with that abacus. Started in seventh grade. Bing, 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 dong, 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 bing.
Short class, huh?
Short class.
Short bus?
Short bus.
1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us anytime, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. We're going to break down the entire tournament with Ron Powell from the Lincoln Journal-Star. Now, the boys, and we're keeping an eye on this, right before the show, the official state pairings had not come out. But that wasn't the only great game last night. Pleasanton was taken to the wall by Hitchcock County. And although the final score was 71-58, that was in overtime. Trey Shafto draining a three at the horn in regulation descended into overtime. Jordan Axman hit six threes in the game. But I'll tell you what, Hitchcock County had a couple of very nice players. Their post player, their 6'4 senior Renfro, went toe-to-toe and may have even won the battle with Zwiener last night. And to a man, Pleasanton said, you know what, we probably should have got beat. We got outplayed. And here's the deal. If you can get outplayed and still win, that you don't want to keep doing that, but that bodes well. But now Pleasanton draws the defending D2 state champion in St. Edward, who also had to go overtime last night to advance out. And I mentioned it a couple of times during the broadcast. Our friends down at the Bruning Davenport Storm, I'm guessing they were probably beating their heads on the wall because they needed Pleasanton to win to make it into state on a wild card, and they got the last wild card.
Trey Shafto's going to have a parade this weekend in his honor. What a great shot from the corner. Guys, see that on the highlights last night. Just stepped up and banged it home.
That's right, Coach. Send your love to Trey Shafto, Pleasanton High School.
We got an address.
Pleasanton, Nebraska.
Get that address.
Hey, guess what? Pleasanton High School, Pleasanton, Nebraska.
Okay.
It's going to get there. It's going to get there. Now, the Omaha World Herald and Stu Pospisil, who will join us on the show Monday, they put together their unofficial pairings, and they're usually right on. Kearney will draw Omaha Central, and again, these are unofficial. Hopefully, they have those by the end of the hour here for you. Kearney, Omaha Central, 8:45, Bob Devaney Sports Center. In Class B, McCook would draw Gretna, 8:45 p.m., Pershing. In C1, Minden and St. Cecilia would play at 10:45 at Pershing Auditorium. Also in that class, Pierce and Boys Town, the number one and two teams in the state, would play, and they're on Minden and St. Cecilia's side of the bracket. Brutal. And then Bennington and Wisner-Pilger will have a rematch of the district final where both were undefeated, and it went overtime. In C2, Ravenna will take on Perkins County / Grant, Lincoln Southeast, 2 o'clock, followed by Grand Island Central Catholic and Deschler at 3:45. At Southeast, Heartland would play Elmwood Murdoch at 8:45. In D1, Kennesaw gets in, but they will be the 8th seed and take on the number one team. And in fact, I think Stu still has them in his all-class top 10, Fremont Bergen, 9 a.m. at Lincoln East. Palmer gets in on a wild card. They will play Meade at 10:45. And Callaway will play Hayes Center at 2 o'clock at Lincoln East. And finally, in D2, we told you Pleasanton and St. Edward, 7 o'clock, Bruning Davenport, Hampton, 8:45 at Lincoln East.
Yeah, Eichmeyer actually last night from Fremont Bergen getting held to 5 points in the first half. They went on and had a big second half. Freeman, they finished their season 16-7. They took a 30-28 lead with 1:07 left in the third quarter, but could not hold on, and they were beaten. Bergen hit just 33% from the field in the first half, but hit 48% from the field in the second half, so one of those deals where Fremont Bergen, number one team. I did not realize that Wes Eichmeyer is 6'6", the Iowa State recruit. So one of those players to watch at the state tournament. A lot of times people go searching for those special players to watch. He's certainly deserving of that, and will be recognized as that at the state tournament.
We have got a great show today. We are going to have more great guests tomorrow. Doug Smith, the head baseball coach at UC Riverside, whose team comes into Lincoln for a four-game series this weekend, will join us. UNK track coach Andy Meyer will give us a few minutes as they host the RMAC Indoor Championships this weekend. Of course, I'll be at state basketball. We'll have updates from there. Tri-City Storm will be in. Kyle Mean, Stormy, and the crew on Friday. And the Storm is home Friday and Saturday. And let's give away a set of tickets going into the break here. Family four-pack, Friday or Saturday. Friday or Saturday. Family four-pack, Lincoln, Omaha. It's up to you. 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. What is the mascot of Hershey High School? What is the mascot at Hershey High School? 1-888-455-ESPN. You get your choice of reserve tickets to Friday or Saturday's Storm hockey game. Ron Powell, Lincoln Journal Star, when we come back.
You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. There's just not enough O's in smooth to describe this show.
Winter blues got you down?
It wasn't my fault, I swear to God!
Do something about it. Head to Cunningham's Journal. Let them warm you up with a happy hour special like Buck 50 Wells and Domestic Long Necks. Maybe even a 225 big-ass beer would do the trick. And now, happy hour's even happier with extended hours till 8 o'clock Monday through Saturday. Join Cunningham's Tuesday and Thursday nights for beer and burgers till 8 for $3.50. That's right, burger and long neck for $3.50. That's all this winter at Cunningham's Journal. Happy hour 4 to 8 Monday through Saturday. We'll see you soon.
Doctors of Chiropractic are trained physicians in the art and science of spinal manipulation. They use this training to treat a wide variety of conditions, such as neck pain, back pain, headaches, and most sports injuries. For 17 years, Dr. John Klingensmith has provided chiropractic care that focuses on total body wellness. Maybe that's why in a recent Gallup poll survey, 90% of chiropractic patients judge their care as effective. So the next time life bangs you around, see Dr. John Klingensmith at Klingensmith Family Chiropractic. Call for an appointment today, 234-4940.
Why pay too much for your next pre-owned car or truck? Since 1981, Carney Auto Sales on East Highway 30 has earned a reputation for selling quality vehicles at affordable prices. Looking for a Chevy Suburban? Come see this 2003 LS 4x4 for just $13,500. How about a 2004 Jeep Grand Cherokee? 53,000 miles that's sure to please, only $12,900. At Carney Auto, you can rent a car for just $19.95 a day or use your tax refund to buy here and pay here too. Open weekdays till 6 and Saturday till 4 or call for details.
I'm Doug Duda with the Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The Tri-City Storm has a busy weekend, hosting Lincoln Friday and Omaha Saturday before traveling to Sioux Falls on Sunday. The UNK basketball teams will open up the RMAC tournament at home Friday night. As the women take on Regis at 6, the men will battle Mesa State at 8. The Hastings College men's and women's basketball teams will compete in the quarterfinals of the GPAC Conference Tournament on Thursday, both taking on Dakota Wesleyan. The men are on the road at 5. The women are at home at 7:30. A win will advance them to the semifinals on Saturday. The Nebraska men will host Oklahoma Wednesday at 7, travel to Oklahoma State Saturday at 12:30. The Nebraska women will be at 21st-ranked Kansas State Wednesday night at 7 and host Colorado Sunday at 2:05. In wrestling, UNK will be competing in the RMAC Championships in Las Vegas, New Mexico this weekend, while Hastings College and Nebraska wrestling is off until next week. And that's a Sports Minute on ESPN. I'm Doug Duda.
I'm Richie Ross from the Tennessee Titans. You're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS.
We'll see sunshine across the area today, along with some scattered cloud cover in spots. Otherwise, look for highs of around 49. Variable winds stay at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, we'll see partly cloudy conditions, lows of around 23, on the way into the mid-50s for highs on Thursday. From the Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 43.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us as we move along on this Wednesday, the final Wednesday of February, and of course we're just a couple of days away from March. Weather's going to be nice this weekend, Daddy. Uh-oh, some of this snow has melted. you're going to get a chance to actually see what's in your yard.
Well, you're going to get a chance to check out some stamped curbing. Give your curbing a unique touch of elegance with one of our stamping packages. Several to choose from. We offer over 40 colors that are digitally weighted to your specifications. This guarantees consistent pour every time. Colored curbs are sealed with an industrial-grade 30% solid sealant that gives your curb longevity and luster for years to come. www.curbit.net is where it's at. That's C-U-R-B-I-T.net. Several benefits of landscape curbing: more economical and durable than traditional lawn edging, successful root barrier. We can go on, but call Matt and the gang today at 308-237-4805. www.curbit.net. Curbit Inc., bringing life to landscapes, residential, commercial. Call for a free estimate. He's going to sit down, talk to you. You're going to explain what you think needs done. He's going to come back with his options. Let you make the decision. Call Matt, 308-237-4805.
Eight. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation.
Doug, I got an email here from our friend in Grand Island, Bob Hamer, from the Independent, about the Ravenna game yesterday. We were discussing, we had an email about this.
You had some friend whining that the game was at Kearney Catholic instead of Kearney High.
We had an email. I did not have a, no, that was not what happened. Basically, we were talking about what gym holds more people. And he says, Doug and Daddy, basically, Daddy, you are so stupid. Kearney, no, he doesn't say that, but he intends it, I think.
That's implied.
Kearney High was not an option for the Ravenna-Axtell game because Ravenna played two sub-district games there already. No way Axtell was going to agree to Kearney High as a host site for that district game. Correct indeed. So that eliminated that option. Thank you, Bob, for that email and explaining that.
If it had been a little warmer, I heard Odessa was in the mix. Odessa.
No.
Odessa.
No.
Not so much. Nebraska men and women both in action tonight. The men, if you're heading down, don't forget they're playing Oklahoma 7:05 tonight. That game will not be televised. Only conference game that's not televised by somebody this year. The women will be televised as they play at Kansas State. That'll be on Fox Sports Midwest, also 7 o'clock coverage time. And the UNK women, they're 26th, so that means they're not in the top 25. But they are 26th in Division II this week.
Doug, you get back to Cagliari's squad. This is a game in which they lost on a buzzer deal, 77-75, earlier in the year, trying to avenge that, but they got to go on the road to do it.
Can't make a layup. We are going to hope that everybody does what they need to do to bring home wins from our area for the Girls State High School basketball tournament and to throw water on our fire. Ron Powell from the Lincoln Journal-Star joins us to tell us what the chances are of some area teams going all the way. We can't even say play on Saturday anymore, Ron, because all you got to do is win that first one. Good morning.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, we got third place games now.
You're going to be covering those, aren't you?
I doubt it. I'll do whatever my sports editor tells me, but at least this week I don't think I'll be doing any third place games.
Ron,
maybe for the boys.
What sticks out for you here? Obviously you see a majority of Class A basketball. Class A looks good, but is there another class that you're going to be real interested? I think B's got a great field, and I don't know about some of these smaller classes. They're kind of top-heavy, too.
You know, there hasn't been a whole lot of play between A and B this year, but in a couple games that were played, you know, South Sioux City beat Southeast.
Technically
Elkhorn,
beat Southeast.
Elkhorn beats Westside. So, you know, there's Class B is an extremely strong class, and there's three very, very good first-round matchups in Class B.
Pius and Holdridge are one of those, a rematch, one of the Holdridge losses this year. That's going to finish out the evening. They're on the side with Alliance, the defending state champion. Holdridge, Pius, what do you expect the second time around?
Well, you know, Jenna Isaacson played the first time, and it was a one-possession game at the end, basically. That game could have went either way. I saw that game. Obviously, Holdridge just played very well since Jenna went down with the ACL. You know, they've kind of come together, and you know, they beat Seward and Crete both in the conference tournament after Jenna went down. And you know, obviously, they're coming in with a lot of momentum. I mean, all of those kids played at the state tournament last year, so you know, this is a very experienced team, and you know, they were preseason number one, and they could very well end up there too. They keep playing the way they have been.
Ron, I guess a lot of teams look at Class A. We've got the Kearney High Bearcats enter at 21-3, facing the Westside team. They've got 8 losses, but probably played a little, well, not a little, probably played quite a bit better competition. You give Kearney a shot in this one?
Oh, definitely. You know, I saw Kearney's game against Lincoln Southwest, a game that they pretty much had under control after 3 quarters and kind of coasted the 4th quarter. And I also saw Southwest beat Westside at Southwest. So, you know, that's kind of a comparison, but that's kind of a tough comparison because Westside did not have Shelley Martin for the game they played against Southwest. And that kind of hurt Westside a little bit early in January because Shelley Martin was sidelined for disciplinary reasons. She's back. She's a very good 3-point shooter. The thing with Westside, too, is they've had a lot of injuries. That, you know, they only suited up 9 kids for districts. I don't know if they're going to bring some kids up from JV and suit them up for the state tournament or not, but they only had 9 or 10 kids on the bench. So
yeah, only got
they've
10
had
on
some injuries to some key players.
Only have 10 on the roster as they enter here, 2 without numbers.
We take a look at what else is going on in A as we're joined by Ron Powell, the Lincoln Journal star. The other quarter bracket there is Millard West against Omaha Marion. Some people I'm talking to think that this could be an upset. What do you think, Ron?
Well, I watched Omaha Marion play Lincoln East in the district final, and Marion was up 37-10 late in the second quarter. That was as well as any basketball team has played all year that I've seen. But, of course, Lincoln East came back, made it a 2-point game with 3 minutes to go, and then Marion hit free throws down the stretch to pull that out. No, that could be a very good matchup. If Marion plays like they did the first half against Lincoln East, they're going to be tough for anybody to handle down there. They got a 6'4 sophomore center, Vicky McIntyre, who's really, really come along during the season, and obviously a very good guard in Claire Tokum, a sophomore who hit most of those free throws down the stretch, kind of iced that district final.
Ron, you look at the other side of that. Lincoln Southeast looks so strong with the 3 Division I players in K.K. Hauser, Burkle, and then Marissa Kostanek, the transfer from Crete. Anybody got a chance to beat them?
Well, you know, the way South Sioux City beat them, and that was Kostanek's second game playing on the varsity, the way they beat them was, first of all, their guards were able to handle Southeast pressure. I mean, you're not going to totally break it every time, but they were able to handle it enough that it wasn't a huge factor in the game. And they were able to shove the ball inside. Michaela Knudsen, Tristan Sharp, you know, a couple post players really hurt Southeast inside. Southeast does not have a lot of height. They're very athletic, but, you know, they've only got 1 6-footer on the roster. And when they get matched up, say, against, say, Millard North makes it through that Bellevue East game, they have a 6'7 junior, Melissa McFarlane, who's very good. Kylie Harold is 6'1. And, you know, on the other side, Millard West has very good post players as well. They got 3 6-footers. Heather Pohl's a definite all-state candidate, you know, average 17 points a game. So if teams can, you know, make it a half-court game against Southeast, they can make it interesting. But, you know, Southeast can put so much pressure on an opponent that, you know, they've got to be the clear favorite in this thing.
Ron, you bring up that Sioux City game. Just from your perspective, was officiating that poor at the end of the game?
Well, you know, that the charging call that was in question was on the other side of the floor. I didn't get a chance to see it. I asked John Larson a few days later after he'd had a chance to see it on film, and he thought it was a bad call. So other than that, you know, I can't tell. You know, there was a lot of fouls called up there in all 4 games that were played up there. Bellevue East had 37 fouls called against them in that overtime loss to South Sioux City.
Oh, no.
So, you know, they called it pretty close. You know, South Sioux City was in some foul trouble in that game, too.
Ron Powell, Lincoln Journal star. Let's move on to the rest of the classes here. Ron, I look at C1 with all due respect to the teams from our area that are playing. I don't know a single soul that's picking anything but Norfolk Catholic against Crofton in the final. How about you?
Well, I'm picking that too, but as we find out in state volleyball, anything can happen. I mean, Norfolk Catholic lost a Centennial first round, so, you know, you never know. I mean, we'll see what happens. I think Fairbury has a chance against Crofton in the first round. You know, Kylie Edson has been a very high-scoring guard for Fairbury, and she has a very good supporting cast around her. You know, Bishop Newman, too, they only lost by 5 early in the season to Norfolk Catholic. They're a much different team than they were then. They had a they have a first-year coach, and most of those kids were still adjusting to his system. So, you know, there are possibilities out there that, you know, Norfolk Catholic may not get through this, or Crofton may not get through this to the final.
Ron, as you look at C2, I guess kind of in our backyard, Cambridge 22-0 plays Grand Island Central Catholic 18-7 in a rematch from the finals of state volleyball. You give Cambridge the edge in this one?
Yeah, you got to give them an edge, but boy, you know, Grand Island Central Catholic's played a great schedule. I mean, those 7 losses are all to good teams, and they have some very good wins as well. This could have been a district final, I guess. You know, Ravenna ended up beating Grand Island Central Catholic in the sub-district, and, you know, that ended up being the district final. And, you know, Ravenna could very easily be in this field. They were playing as well as anyone down the stretch. So kind of unfortunate they're not in this thing. But, yeah, that should be a great first-round matchup, Cambridge and Grand Island Central Catholic. That's the one I like the best out of the 4 and C2.
Everybody knows about what happened in D1 with Humphrey, St. Francis, and Pope John all in the same sub-district, but yet Bancroft Rosalie is your number one seed here with the wild card points.
Yeah, they've been dominant all season. You know, they got most of the kids back from a team that, you know, made to the semifinals last winter, and, you know, they won state volleyball in November, and it seems like that confidence has just kept going and during basketball season. They do have kind of an interesting story. They're going to have a girl with an ACL injury try and play in the state tournament. Katie Stansbury went down with an ACL in the conference tournament. And, she is going to try and play with a brace this weekend. She hasn't played since the conference tournament, but she's going to give it a try. And, you know, I'm sure that's going to be somewhat inspirational for the kids as well.
Ron, D2, what stands out to you?
There's a lot that stands out in D2. That's a great class. You look at the teams in that class. For instance, Ewing. Ewing blew out Pope John, and Pope John's one of the, you know, one of the favorites in D1. And Ewing handled them easily toward the end of the regular season. And you know, they got most of their kids back from a state championship team. You know, you got an undefeated Mullen team that's the 6th seed. I mean, what does that tell you? That tells you there's a lot of depth in that class. You know, Falls City Sacred Heart comes in number one, and I think they're better than they were a year ago. North Loup Scotia's only lost once, and they were a D1 state qualifier last year, and they have everyone back. Pleasanton, you know, another team that's kind of taken it up another level this year. You know, any of those teams could emerge as the winner.
Ron Powell. Ron Powell, Lincoln Journal Star, breaking down the girls' state tournament, which gets underway tomorrow. Got quite a few area teams. Ron, is there anything we haven't touched on or an individual story that maybe you're going to be watching at this state tournament?
Well, obviously, we'll be all be interested to see how the third-place games draw. You know, what happens these next 2 weeks are going to have a huge impact on, you know, future state tournaments in other sports as well. So it'll be interesting to see how those games draw and how the NSAA evaluates it.
Ron, you got to pick one team to take home the hardware on Saturday. Who is that one team? Any of the classes?
Any of the classes that is dominating favorite?
Yes.
Boy, I don't know. You know, I've mentioned pros and cons on all of them. You know, I'd probably say Southeast simply because of, you know, the history of what they've had at the state tournament under John Larson. He knows how to get his teams ready to play at state. And, you know, usually if he has an edge in talent, he's probably going to win most of the time. And he's definitely got an edge in talent, at least in the backcourt. And, you know, I think Lincoln teams have it a little bit of an advantage playing in Lincoln as well. So
Ron,
you know, if there was one, I would maybe pick Southeast.
Ron, thanks so much for the time. Great stuff.
Thank you.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. Ron Powell, appreciate the time. Lincoln Journal Star joining us here on the Duncan Daddy Show, breaking down what's going on at the state basketball tournament. The girls get going tomorrow, and the boys are coming up. You know, every class has a story again this year. I think the more interesting is, you know, you can pick who you think is going to win each class, Is there a class where you can see an underdog winning? Because I think right now, if I had to pick a favorite, I don't think anybody can beat Perkins County. I don't think anybody can beat Perkins County. They got everybody back from last year. I saw what they had last year. And I saw Cambridge and heard some of their fans behind me at the district game against Ravenna. And Cambridge would have to play much better to beat Perkins County. And Sutton, I think that's a good ball club. I think they've got a chance to make it into the finals. I think that is going to be your final. We're going to see what happens, but I would say Perkins County would be my pick. Do you have a pick as the most dominant?
I think in Class B, you'd look at Sioux City. I think that the Cardinals at 21-1, if they're able to beat Southeast, and albeit on their home floor and with some very poor officiating, I don't think Ron wanted to say that, but nonetheless, I think that they emerge from Class B and take home the trophy. You know, and that's no disrespect to Holdridge or Lincoln Pius, who I think are very, very good ball clubs. Kind of a shame they've got to meet, collide in that first round. But I think that would be the team that stands out to me.
Got an email here from Luke and Carney who says, Doug and Daddy, what's the deal with the game times for the state tourneys this year? Maybe you've already addressed this, which we've touched on, but what happened to the good old 9-3, 11-30, 1-30, 5-7, and 9, as I've always remembered? I think I heard that they turned it into three sessions instead of two. I'm all right with that because I'm sure that the NSAA has lowered ticket prices per session so that families can still afford to watch a weekend of basketball. Please enlighten me, Luke and Carney. Good stab there, Luke. Good stab. That's exactly what they're doing. They're making it three sessions instead of two. It's definitely, although they haven't come out and said that, it's financial. Has to be. There's no other reason you would do that. And to do that, they have put just an hour 45 between games instead of 2 hours. And we all know that those 1:30 and 9 o'clock games always tip off on time.
Yeah, they will be pushed back. The sessions are going to run in. There's going to be lines out the door to get in. It should be, you know, that's something interesting to keep an eye on. See how that works.
Andy Gerlich, Sutton's going to come up and tell us why Sutton can win the state championship and tell me why my prediction is wrong about Perkins County right after this.
Hey, this is Matt Schick, formerly of NTV and now with KETV in Omaha, Nebraska. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show. These guys are wicked good, or in English, terrible.
It's Colin Coward. When I heard about the technology remote access, I thought, what a great idea. Go to My PC is the best way to remotely access your PC from anywhere. Go to My PC is easy to set up. It's easy to use. It's got the fastest connection speed. You won't believe it. With Go to My PC, you can work on your office PC as if you were sitting right there. You can access all your programs and files. You can transfer files and folders between computers, print documents from your PC to any of your printers. Use GoToMyPC to work from home while traveling anywhere, anytime, without missing a beat. I do. GoToMyPC lets you take your office with you wherever you go. I use GoToMyPC, and once you use it, you'll never go back. I want you to try GoToMyPC free today. I have an exclusive 45-day free trial just for my listeners. Only available if you use the promo code COLIN. First, visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the orange Try It Free button, and remember to use the promo code COLIN. Go to My PC. Easy to use, easy to set up.
People are talking about the Doug and Daddy blog at ESPNSuperstation.com. It's all good.
I'm surprised to hear that because that is new information.
You bet. The Doug and Daddy blog is all about insightful commentary and learned opinions from our dynamic duo. Yep, can't they talk about
certain controversial issues, pretty much anything they want to talk about.
And of course, you got to talk back.
That story was completely inappropriate.
The Doug and Daddy blog on ESPNSuperstation.com. Let them know what you think.
The girls' state high school basketball tournament tips off Thursday, and we've got plenty of action for you, including right here on ESPN 1460 as Kearney High takes on Omaha West Side at 3:45. On 1230 KHAS, Lawrence Nelson takes on Bancroft Rosalie at 2 o'clock. On the Breeze, 94.5, Cambridge and Grand Island Central Catholic at 7, Sutton and Elmwood Murdoch at 8:45, and on Power 99 Thursday, Kearney Catholic, Norfolk Catholic at 2, Minn and Hershey at 3:45, Pleasanton Sioux County at 7. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You know, we are off a break here, and you know, I told Daddy that we were going to talk about the Phillies, and he thought we were going to talk about Steve Anderson over at Fodder Park, Derek. But that's not right.
Wow,
that's not right.
That's not right.
That's not right, Daddy.
We're talking about the lead Philly, the leader of those Phillies,
the man,
21-1.
Okay. Who you got for us?
Andy Gerlich joins us. Sutton, the head women's basketball coach, or lady basketball coach. We're talking high school. Andy, what's going on this morning?
Not a whole lot. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great. Now, I don't know if you chimed in right before we gave you a call here, but I said Perkins County was the biggest lock in all the classes to win a state championship. So before you hang up on before you hang up on me, tell me, and I know that's looking ahead, and I understand that, but they are pretty dominant, but you guys seem to be the team that might be the second choice in this field. Do you feel good that you have a team that can go to the finals and give them a challenge?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, we got to take care of business tomorrow with Elmwood, a tough Elmwood Murdoch team first, and then whoever in the semis. But yeah, I think that, you know, some of the things could fall into place for us to at least be able to contend for a title.
Coach, you faced a tough Milford team, kind of, you know, it took a tough loss, 6 points a loss, but then got on a streak on the, you know, down the stretch there and were able to pull off 10 in a row. Did confidence wane at all in that Milford game, or did you get you a little bit more confidence and get on a roll?
Well, I think that we learned a lot about ourselves in that Milford game. I mean, we were down by, in the loss to Milford, we were down by as many as 12 or 13, and our girls came back, take a one-point lead, and we might have just ran out of gas there at the end. And you know, Milford's a team that's a lot more athletic than we are, and we defended them pretty well. But you know, they hit a couple of big shots at the end, didn't miss a free throw in the fourth quarter, and then we were able to beat them on their floor in our conference titles. So, you know, we got 1-1 on them. So,
Sutton Philly head girls basketball coach Andy Gerlich joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Usually, when you talk Sutton and success, you talk about a balanced scoring attack, and you've got one of those schools again where you see a lot of the same names, and you start right there with the Van Kirks. What about your team and the balance you've shown this year?
Well, I think that that's something that hopefully will help us this weekend, is that, you know, at one time this year we had four people that were averaging 10 or more points a game, and then our other starter was right at 7 or 8. So hopefully, you know, we can have that kind of balance, and teams have done some triangle and two and run some junk defenses at us. And fortunately, we've had our post players step up and hit some shots, and then our point guard, Courtney Sponberg, had a huge game against St. Cecilia. So we were fortunate to be able to counter those defenses with our balance. So,
Andy, if you look at Elmwood Murdoch, it looks on paper like stopping Megan Bober, of course, her sister playing for the university, and now her 6 foot tall, defending her is going to be key number one.
Absolutely. She's their best player. I think their biggest threat to score on offense. They've got another post player, though, that's very good. They put Bober out on the perimeter a little bit and try to isolate the other post player, and she's tough. So our post players, and we've worked on it these 3 days, but our post players are going to have to play really good defense on them, and then our guards are going to have to help them out by pressuring out on the wing a little bit more, and more than we usually do. To try to at least slow her down a little bit, because a lot of the things that they do run through her, and that's obviously good coaching on their part because she's a fantastic athlete.
Andy Gerlich of the Sutton Phillies talking about the girls' state basketball tournament coming up. Andy, you're still, I guess I could still say, fairly new as the head coach there at Sutton. What about the tradition that they have there and the expectations as they go to state, just looking back at some of the things that past teams have done?
I agree. The tradition here is fantastic. I mean, that's what motivates a lot of the girls. You know, one thing, though, that we did this year, we're pretty fortunate that we won the district title this year as opposed to going on the wild card. The last 5 times that they've gone to state, it's been on the wild card. So hopefully that'll make a difference here to go into the state tournament on a win as opposed to on a loss and then, you know, having to enter the tournament on that note as opposed to a win. But, yeah, I was definitely aware of the tradition. And it's something that I think kind of separates these kids when things get tough. They kind of know, hey, we play for Sutton. You know, we've got to have higher expectations of ourselves. So it's definitely in our thought process.
Andy, I was able to ask Rick Cremosa this from Minden earlier on the show. Give me one key to this first round game for you guys and your team to advance on.
They play a very aggressive zone. We're going to have to take care of the ball and make good passes, and then to me, it's just going to be handling the environment, I suppose. If I had to narrow down to one thing, you know, who's going to handle the first 4 minutes of the game, who's going to come out the first 4 minutes of the third quarter and be able to handle the environment.
Well, Andy, we wish you and the Phillies the best of luck, and we will see you down in Lincoln. Good luck tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys, for having me on.
Take care.
All right.
Andy Gerlich, Sutton Phillies, 21-1. They go in tomorrow. They have the evening game. They'll probably get to go through, I guess we could have asked him, some schools they want to get down there and watch some games, but, you know, they have the opportunity to kind of make it a normal day tomorrow if they want to make it a normal day with the 8:45 game, which you will hear on The Breeze, 94.5, right after Central Catholic Cambridge, which you will hear on The Breeze, 94.5, 7 o'clock.
We got a lot of basketball
tomorrow. Very impressed with your basketball knowledge. And as we go to break, let's test the basketball knowledge. I changed the question, by the way, Derek.
Okay.
The first question, Daddy, was how many state volleyball championship teams have sent their basketball teams to state? The answer is 4. Paxton, ironically, has not made it, and Ord did not make it, who won state volleyball championships. But there is only one school who won a state girls championship last year that did not make it back to state this year. Troutman's Wednesday trivia. Who is it? 1-888-455-ESPN. If you have not won in the last 2 months, you're eligible for a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats. Which one 2007 girls' state basketball champion did not make it back to the tournament this year? 1-888-455-ESPN. We'll be right back.
It was just last week during our programming meeting that the boss made this comment about the Doug and Daddy show.
We have in effect put all our rotten eggs in one basket. And we intend to watch this basket carefully.
These rotten eggs will be right back on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
At Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, we are expanding, but because of all the construction, we're suffering some growing pains. We need to clear some space. We are seriously out of room, and even more vehicles are on the way. We have a huge selection, so the boss told the sales team to make some space immediately. Yes, we'll soon have a bigger and better service department and a large show area to the southeast, but right now we're just out of room. Stop on by Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and step around the mess if you have to. Chevrolet, an American revolution.
OnStar versus ordering a la carte. OnStar is one set of buttons and 9 safety services standard for the first year. Order those services a la carte and you'd be paying for an aftermarket security system, your own diagnostic service, a GPS system, and occasional locksmith. Suddenly, there isn't much room in the car for you. A single service versus all those individual ones? Isn't the simplest solution usually the best? Visit OnStar.com for system limitations and details.
All your insurance needs, one simple call. 1-800-WE-INSURE. Fast, simple, affordable insurance solutions. Your own local agent from 1-800-WE-INSURE will get you the right insurance, the best rates, and give you the best service possible. They work for you, not the insurance company. Call 1-800-WE-INSURE. It's the only number you'll ever need for insurance. Attention agents, learn more about the fastest growing insurance network in America. Call 1-800-WE-INSURE or visit 1-800-WE-INSURE.com.
Hi, I'm Justin McBride, PBR World Champion. You're listening to the ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see sunshine across the area today, along with some scattered cloud cover in spots. Otherwise, look for highs of around 49. Variable winds stay at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, we'll see partly cloudy conditions, lows of around 23, on the way into the mid-50s for highs on Thursday. From the Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 43.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We have a winner for Troutman's Trivia. The question is, out of the 6 girls state basketball champions only from last year, only one school did not qualify this year. In D2, Ewing won it. They're back as the 5 seed. In D1, Humphrey St. Francis won it. They're back as the 4 seed. In C2, Kearney Catholic won it. And they're back in C1 as the number 8 seed. And Crofton won C1 last year, and they're in as the number 2 seed. Class B, Alliance won it last year. They're back unbeaten, number 1 seed. Last year's state champion, our friend Matt Fritchie at Bellevue West. They were knocked out. Bellevue East is in. Bellevue West is out. The answer, Bellevue West is the only state champion from last year that did not make it back to this year's state tournament. And our winner was...
Dwayne from Kearney.
Good job, Dwayne. $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats.
Sharp cat, that Dwayne guy. Doug, I got an email here that says, how come after the bowling in Omaha, Doug asked you where the next bowling event was, and you had that information. You wrapped up the Bassmasters the other day. We have no idea where the next Bass event is. I have that information for you, Tom. It's the Sunshine Showdown, the Harris Chain of Lakes in Leesburg, Florida, March 6th through the 9th. And I actually had that information on Monday. We kind of ran out of time.
So they have some time off first, huh? Is that the deal?
Yes. They're going to take a couple weeks off here and enjoy the success at Alton, Mr. Alton Jones, who advanced from 10th place to first day to first place and the winner of $500,000 in the biggest event of the year on that circuit.
You may look and say, well, you told us about girls, but Doug, how about the boys? Omaha Central, the defending Class A state champion, looks like that's who Kearney is going to open with. Class B, Omaha Scott won it last year. They're back. C1 Ainsworth, they are not back. C2 Ponca, they are back. And it looks like they'll open up.
They're going to play Boys Town, aren't they?
No.
Oh, that's Pierce.
They're going to play Oakland Craig. Oakland Craig, a rematch of last year's state championship in the first round. There's a lot of great stories this year. D1 Juanita Palisade, they did not make it back. And St. Edward won D2, and they did make it back and will face Pleasanton in the opening round, according to the unofficial state pairings.
Douglas, if you're new to the show, you know that Nebraska women's bowling is one of the things we zero in on and have some fun with and like to announce the results and how the ladies do.
It's about time for them to get going, ain't it?
It is about time for them to get going, but now we have one of the other things we like to zero in and let you know about. Nebraska finishes fourth at the GARC Championships, and you ask, what is the GARC Championships? That is the Great American Rifle Conference Championships. On Sunday, they finished fourth place as a team in Oxford, Mississippi.
What's next, Daddy?
Well, they're set up for the NCAA Championships. This just released out of Indianapolis. NCAA Men's and Women's Rifle Committee announced the list of team and individual qualifiers for the 2008 Rifle Championships on Tuesday. Nebraska is among that 8-team field that will compete March 14th and 15th at the U.S. Military Academy in West Point, New York.
Do you think we could get the team to show up for Tuesday's show?
Let's hope not. That'd be dangerous.
Coming up Tuesday, the Doug and Daddy Show on the road, live from Haymarket Park in Lincoln as Nebraska takes on UNK. We will be bringing you baseball. 1:35 is the go time. We will be there for the Doug and Daddy Show, talking to Huskers and Lopers about the baseball season, the start they've had, and getting together to play next Tuesday. The game's at 1:35. We will have the Doug and Daddy Show live from Haymarket Park next Tuesday.
If you're interested on who those other qualifiers are,
I'm not.
Kentucky.
See, I'm not interested.
Nevada Reno, TCU. United States Military Academy, United States Naval Academy, West Virginia.
See, that's why I moved on.
Then
you know what I'm interested in? Free snacks and half-price drinks.
Yeah!
See, I knew that'd get him interested. Free snacks and half-price drinks are part of the Prairie Hills Golf Course new member open house. Mark it on your calendar March 15th and come see the new Prairie Hills. Check out the membership options and opportunities and also take part in the $40,000 hole in one contest. Daddy, that would take care of what? About a third of your problems? The $40,000 hole in one contest.
Half.
A fourth of your problems?
No, half. I just got the wife and.
Wow, come on.
No, I'm kidding. It's a joke.
You can win either a GMC Acadia or 40 grand. 50 non-pro, non-teaching pros will qualify for a shot at the grand prize. A $10 entry fee allows you 3 qualifying shots. The top 50 get a chance at the hole-in-one grand prize. So mark March 15th on your golf calendar. Complete rules are available on our website at ESPNSuperstation.com. Click on the Prairie Hills ad. And, of course, you don't have to wait till March 15th to come out with the simulator. Come out and practice your game anytime. Clubhouse open from 8 a.m. to midnight. But mark March 15th for the new member open house at Prairie Hills. And when you go to ESPNSuperstation.com, vote on the Prairie Hills poll in one question. Daddy, we're getting a lot of votes on this. I was pretty impressed this morning. Who is the greatest golfer of all time? Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, other. Right now, Tiger has a very slim lead over Jack.
Really?
You know what? Jack has made up ground the last day or two.
That's interesting because I would have thought just by what Tiger's done lately, people just pushed him over the edge. And
52% for Tiger, 40% for Jack, 8% for other.
Who would choose other? Who's other? I mean, are you going back to Sam Snead?
Well, I think you're going back to Bobby Jones.
Yeah, Bobby Jones.
Okay.
I would go. And I'm sure maybe there was one fan of the show that is voting for Phil Mickelson. By the way, I got to it first. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Blue. Happy birthday, fan number two.
Happy birthday to you.
Enjoy your fried chicken, chump. We want to thank everybody for joining us on the show today, including Andy Gerlich of Sutton. Also, Rick Cremosta of Minden to talk about their girls' basketball teams heading down to state. We're going to have a couple more, hopefully, for you on the show tomorrow. We know a ton more are going. Pleasanton, Kearney High, Kearney Catholic. Also, want to thank Ron Powell from the Lincoln Journal-Star for joining us among our guests tomorrow. UNK track coach Andy Meyer as the RMAC Championships get underway in Kearney this weekend. And the head baseball coach at California Riverside, Doug Smith, will join us on the program tomorrow as they fly in to battle the Huskers in a four-game series at Haymarket Park this weekend. We'll have more hockey tickets to give away as the week progresses as well.
Hey, happy birthday, Blue Jay. If you're not doing anything this afternoon, stop into Computer Hardware. Wish Blue a happy birthday. Pick up an Epson Cinema Projection 106-inch high-definition screen as well.
I think his face is on the high-definition screen today, isn't
it? It could. Yeah, I don't know why it's not.
Happy birthday, Blue. Hey, we want to thank you for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good luck at state, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.